Tonight I'd like to invite you to the book of Psalms, the 9th division, and verse 1, Psalm 9, verse 1.
Psalm 9, verse 1 reads this way. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you again for the privilege of assembling together in your church and in, Lord, being reminded that you are in our midst, and we thank you for that, Lord. We do pray that you would fill us and guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Once again, Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up in our lives, an honor and a glory to your name. Bless, Lord, and guide us into your paths, into your way. Give us a heart and a hunger and a thirst for you and your righteousness. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise tonight, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message is simply, I will praise thee, O Lord. That's a good place to be, isn't it? Good state of mind. I will praise thee, O Lord. And we do find this really to be the perfect state of mind for the believer. And so when is it the right time to praise the Lord? When is it the right time? Anytime, every time, all the time. All those are right answers, and we thank the Lord for that. When things are going great, absolutely. When things are just kind of even keel, that's a good time. And when things are difficult, that's still a good time to praise the Lord. And, you know, the amazing thing is, if you stop and think about it, the Apostle Paul prayed and nothing happened for him. When he prayed for the thorn to be removed, he prayed how many times to the Lord? Three times. And then he got his answer, didn't he? And the Lord said to him, my strength is seen in your weakness. What a concept. And so the Apostle Paul said, I'd rather be where the Lord was shining than where I'm shining. And so he submitted himself to that and trusted the Lord in that. And he experienced great grace, didn't he? A changed life, and he was able to experience something that he would have never otherwise been able to experience. And by the way, when the Lord was here on earth, did he suffer? Yeah. Absolutely he did. Was he, all kinds of things were done to him. He was, and we would say, my goodness, you would have thought him being who he was, he would experience no trouble at all, but he's our example. So don't consider it a strange thing or an odd thing when these things come into our lives. God is working with us and in us to look to him for our strength. And that's easy to say when everything's going okay, but it's another thing when things are not going right. But God is still worthy in spite of those things, and God gives us strength even through those times when things aren't the way we would like them to be. God is still in control, and God wants us to know that even in those times, he is still Lord. Amen? You know, we would maybe like even our situation today to be more, enhanced, a better situation. We would maybe say, well, if I were going to direct my life, and if I had the power to do so, here's what I would like to have different in my life, whatever it might be. Maybe it might be better health. Maybe it might be a better situation or a different situation. So many things that we can say, okay, this is what I would like to have, but God says, I am giving you my best that will cause you to glorify my name, because it's in our weakness that he is made strong. And that's not always something that's easily understood, but God wants us to have that in our hearts and minds. So tonight, we're going to consider three reasons to praise the Lord, by the way, continually, every time, at all times. And that, first of all, is the first thought is the Lord judges in righteousness. Isn't that good? That's a good reason to praise the Lord. Secondly, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. That's a good thing, right? So that's another reason to praise the Lord. And the Lord judges the wicked. Amen? The Lord judges the wicked. And so we can praise God that one day those that are standing in wickedness will stand before the Lord and give an account to him. Now, the Lord says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Lord, may they repent and may they receive your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness before it's eternally too late. But if not, they will stand and give a full account before God Almighty himself. So let's consider the Lord judges in righteousness, and we'll see that here in the first 8 verses. Notice he says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. That's important. That's not, you know, somebody says, well, they're just half-hearted. You ever heard that? They're just half-hearted, and we don't want to be half-hearted, especially when it comes to the things of God. We want to be wholehearted. In other words, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our might, and with all of our soul. So he says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I'm wholly into it completely. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Do you think God's going to show somebody with that kind of an attitude and outlook the things of God in a way that would honor and glorify? See, he's not distracted. He's focused in, isn't he? He says, what's his purpose? I am going to praise the Lord, not half-heartedly, not three-quarters-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. I'm going to praise the Lord. And what does he say? I will show forth all thy marvelous works. You know, the Lord wants to bring marvelous works into our lives. Listen. When Paul was going through difficult times, my goodness, he was shipwrecked, he was left for dead, all different, and God showed his marvelous works. He kept him going, and he came to the place where he says, whether I live, it's a good thing, and whether I die, it's a good thing. Amen? And so he had complete confidence in the Lord. And by the way, for every believer here this morning, when we leave this life, the best is yet to come, right? We believe that, don't we? And we're going to see things that we can't even imagine. And I want you to know something. I'm convinced I'm going to be in awe. How about you? I'm going to be in awe. We can talk about it. And because God says it, we can believe it. But we haven't seen it yet. And here's what the Lord says. The Lord says he's got things in store for us that love him that haven't even entered into our minds. Isn't that amazing? I've got a good imagination, and yet the Lord says, you haven't even begun to think about what I've got in store for you. Boy, that is exciting, isn't it? And so we can praise the Lord for that and believe the Lord in that. Even though we haven't seen it, we know we're going to see it because he said so. And we'll look forward to that because we do have such a great God. So verse 2, he says, I will be glad and rejoice. How? Well, I will be glad and rejoice because of the 11 o'clock news. Amen? I will be glad and rejoice because of whatever the situation might be. No. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. He saved my soul. Amen? He's given to us eternal life and a hope in heaven, which is yet to come. And not an I hope so, it's an I know so, but I have hope in that, right? I am looking forward to that. My hope is all laid up in the truths that God has given to all of us, right? So verse 3, when mine enemies were turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. So he says, listen, he says, I know that nobody will be able to stand before the Lord. And you and I are the people of God. Isn't that great? And so the Lord, listen, the Lord governs our steps, does he not? The Lord allows the difficulties. And you know what he's doing? He's working in our lives. He's causing us. This is the Lord's objective. Ready? That we would look to him and not try to fix it ourselves. You know, in this day and age, we live in the fix it society, don't we? Everybody's got an answer, don't they? Everybody's got a fix. And really what we need to look to is the Lord's direction and the Lord's instruction and to trust in what he said. And by the way, we have to stop being self-reliant when it comes to our life, right? The Lord doesn't want us to be slothful, but he does want us to look to him. And how many situations in our life? In all of our situations. So Lord, help me to see you in this. And you know, when he allows things in our lives that are not comfortable, you know, he's still causing us and wanting us to look to him and to trust him. Lord, let me rest in this. Let me not be anxious in how many things? And let me not be anxious. He says, be anxious for what? He says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. So that means when things don't go my way on a certain day, when things could go better, he says, don't be anxious. Rest. Know that you are in my hands. And so he says, I'll praise the Lord. I can praise the Lord. When are we ever out of the Lord's hands? We are never out of the Lord's hands. Can we praise God for that? Listen, the lost world can't praise the Lord for those things, but the child of God can. We can praise the Lord that we are always in his hands. So he says, when mine enemies, verse 3, are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. God is a righteous judge. And he judges according to his word and to his truth. So it behooves you and I as believers to trust the word of God and walk in the truths that he gives us. He says, thou hast rebuked the heathen, but that's not for us. Thou hast destroyed the wicked, but that's not for us. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever, but praise God, that's not for us. So we can praise the Lord in all of these things. And he says this, O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them, but the Lord shall endure for how long? Forever. The Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. So those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he says to them? Enter into the rest of the Lord. Those who have rejected that, he says, go into the place that has been prepared for you eternally without the Lord Jesus Christ in a place called hell. And you know, God doesn't want that for anybody, but he is a righteous God. See, that's the one thing that people don't really, I think, take into full understanding. God is a righteous judge. He doesn't go by, you know, by somebody else's truth or somebody else's feelings. This is how I feel. This is how I feel. This is how I think. This is what I think. That's not the way the Lord works. He works by, in spite of what people are thinking today, and boy, oh boy, is the thinking of humanity gone crazy. I think the Lord told us that was going to take place when his return was going to be at hand, that they were going to call good evil and they were going to call evil good. Boy, are we seeing that today, aren't we? And so we know the Lord's getting ready to return. And so the house of the Lord, the people of God, ought to be preparing and seeking the Lord and walking that way and enjoying the salvation and trusting in the Lord in those things. So the Lord judges in righteousness is a reason why we can praise the Lord. Another one is the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. And you know, there's one thing God knows, and that is that his people are oppressed. And you know why he knows that? Because it is a work of faith also in the life of the believer. He allows that so that we would look to him and trust him that even though the world does not, by the way, we are no better than our master, are we? The world hated him. Let's not be surprised when the world hates us. But here's the good news. God knows about it. And by the way, he was tested and tried in every which way that you and I could ever be tested, was he not? I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ was tried and tested. Listen, he wept, did he not? He cried. He was rejected. All different kinds of things happened to him. And he says, there's nothing going to happen to you that I am not aware of. Amen? Not only that, but that, listen, fathom this thought. He allowed that to happen to him. Amen. That he might know, and that we might know that he knows what we're feeling, amen, and what we're experiencing. So nothing, this is all in the heart and mind of the Lord. What a great God. Amen. What a great God that he would humble himself. God who does not, who should not have to be humble, amen, has humbled himself. And so if God has humbled himself to trust his heavenly Father, even beyond his understanding, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me? Wasn't that what the Lord said? Boy, oh boy, did he experience rejection, but he understood and he trusted and glorified the Father. And do you know what? The Lord wants you and I as well to glorify his name, but we have to trust the Lord and be humble and walking in his way in all situations, in all circumstances, that we might humbly walk before him. That's the goal, amen? Lord, show me how to walk humbly with you, trusting you and being submissive to you in everything that I do and say, that I might be looking to you. So the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, and we can trust him. Verse 9 says this, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of great joy and happiness only. No. A refuge in times of trouble. In times of trouble. And they that know thy name, listen to this, and they that know thy name will put their trust, their faith in thee. We'll put our trust in him. And that's what God wants us to understand. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Isn't that good? So if we seek the Lord, we can count on him and experience. And that's the way that God substantiates our faith. We begin to experience. Listen, there's a lot of people that don't know how to walk with the Lord because they're not trusting him. They're trying to do for themselves. They're going to figure it out for themselves. They're going to make plans for themselves. And God says, okay, I'll be over here whenever you want to come seek me. And when you seek me with a whole heart, right? Remember, with a whole heart, you're going to find me. But you can't just say, well, I'm seeking the Lord and I don't understand why I don't find him. Well, keep seeking him if you really want him, right? Keep seeking. So is that how we knock on the door? Oh, nobody's home, I'm going. No, we give it a couple, right? And if we get a little fancy, we go, right? We can do all kinds of crazy things. But if we want entrance somewhere, we're going to knock and knock. And if we really want to enter and the door doesn't open, we'll wait, and then we'll knock again. And by the way, if we know the Lord is always at home, he is never gone. He's always there for us. And so keep knocking until the Lord answers. And he says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. That's verse 10. Then notice this. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. And by the way, does our God dwell in Zion? Absolutely. We need to sing praises because he is there. He's home. Amen. He is not moved. He is unmovable and he will always be. And we can trust the rock of our salvation. So sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Amen. His doings. Lord, we praise your name for what you have done. You have given to us salvation. We praise your name for thinking up and planning out and causing the New Testament church to exist, where we can worship you, where we can draw near to you, the place that you've called to glorify your name, and you have placed us. We learned that today, didn't we, Brother Tom? We have been placed. God has set us in the church, and every part, every single, in the heart and mind of God, every part is just as important. There is not one part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that is less important or more important than any other part of the body. God says it is all fitly joined together and it works together. Aren't you glad? We talked about the body, and we talked about, my goodness, there's the central nervous system. There's the brain, and there's the thinking, and then there's all the different organs that operate. And aren't you glad it's not up to you to make sure that they're all running, right? Aren't you glad in the middle of the night, you know, I guess, oh, I'm supposed to be breathing. I'm supposed to, you know, you have to think about that. Oh, my heart, I need to make sure my heart's going. Will you wake me up at 2 a.m. so I can check on my heart, make sure? No, that's all in the hand of God. And he's showing us that all the body parts, intricately woven together, working together, have their part, their function, and their place. And every part in the heart, listen, God doesn't create anything for nothing. God creates everything for a purpose. And so everything that God has created is to glorify his name, and he has chosen and has ordained and designed the local New Testament church to glorify his name, and we can praise the Lord for that. So he says, sing praises. Then he says this. He says, verse 12, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Isn't that important? The importance there again of humility. What is that? Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. He's lifted us up. So if he's lifted us up from the gates of death and condemnation and destruction, will he not watch over all of our steps? And so Lord, and by the way, our enemy is the enemy of the Lord, which is the world. The world is seeking to oppress and to destroy the truth and the believer. But wait a minute, listen, God does not want us to fight the world, but to win the world by the grace of God. He's commissioned us to go out into the world with the glorious gospel of peace that we might see souls saved. Amen? And so God is wanting us to be the humble seeker of the Lord, that he might be working his will in our lives, and that we would draw people unto him by his great grace, that they might see the love of God in our lives in such a way that they say, you know, there is something in them that I like. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have anything of any value to the world without the Lord Jesus Christ. And not of eternal value anyway. The world might see something in you that they want, right, for their own benefit. But they will see, when they see the Lord Jesus Christ, the humility of Christ, when they see the love of God in us, they will see their need and they will understand a loving Savior has died for them as well. They know the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know what the Bible is saying and we're to proclaim it. But more important than that, God wants us to reveal that to them through our lives. He wants to do that through us for his honor and his glory, and of course, really for our blessing. Paul rejoiced, right, to see his children, if you will, in the faith, growing in the grace. And he's told them, you've been given the same grace. You've been given the same love. You've been given the same promises that have been given to me, that have been given as well to all of God's people. So he says, sing praises unto the Lord, verse 11, which dwelleth in Zion, declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. So the Lord is wanting us to know we have him as our refuge, and we can rejoice in the salvation. Right there in verse, look at verse 14 again. So again, we're the oppressed. He is the refuge for the oppressed, and he wants us to be able to claim, verse 14, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Listen, that is the testimony of God's people. And if we don't have that, we're missing a great part of our salvation. We're missing a great part. There's something wrong if we can't praise the Lord and rejoice and be glad and have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's more than head knowledge, isn't it? It's the love of God that moves the world, that turns the world upside down. And you and I cannot manufacture that, but we can submit and allow the Lord to work that in our lives. And that's how that takes place. And that requires faith. Lord, I am trusting you that in any of my circumstance, in all of my circumstances, you can be strong in me. Amen? Last thought. Not only can we rejoice continually because the Lord judges in righteousness and that the Lord is the refuge for the oppressed, but the last thought is the Lord judges the wicked. Look at verse 15. He says, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. by the way, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. Did you see that? The wicked people sets a trap. The wicked people are setting up a trap. And the Lord says they're going to get caught in that their own trap. The children of God are not setting up traps. The children of God are walking in the love of God. Amen? The children of God are trusting the Lord, and they're not defending themselves. They are submitting themselves, and they if it's the cross, then so be it. Pick up thy cross. Isn't that what the Lord said? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and do what? Follow me. Follow the Lord. Listen, we are followers of the Lord. We're not trying to do anything but follow. The Lord didn't say, now here's what you need to know. He says, follow me. I will show you. How will you know? Because I'm doing what I want you to do. I have done what I want you to do. I want you to walk in my ways. And mark it down. Our ways are not the Lord's way. And so we have to be willing to be submissive that we might walk in the way of the Lord. Again, verse 15, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the working of his own hands, hegeon, selah. And hegeon also is a word of meditation, which is selah as well, says, meditate on this, think about this. That's a double meditation. Just stop and take that truth in because he wants us to realize we don't need to defend ourselves. In fact, God, that's not what God wants us to do. When we are physically or verbally, mentally, however you want to look at it, when we are struck by the world, God wants us to humbly turn the other cheek like he did. Walk as the Lord walked and follow him. And that's where we engage the Lord. The Lord sees that and the Lord says, oh, this believer is honoring me. This child of mine is seeking to walk in my way. I not that he doesn't see all of his children, but he zeroes in to pour on the blessings and to point them toward the light that he wants them to walk in as he sees them taking those steps, right? And by the way, not only just we're going to be knocking on the door, Lord, I need you. Show me how to walk in your will and in your way. So, verse 17, he says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God, they don't know God, they've chose to put God out of their hearts, out of their minds. Don't worry about that. God's saying, I'll take care of it. Amen? I will take care of that. Their day's coming. Follow me. Don't worry about that. There's coming a day where God's going to separate the goats from the sheep, isn't he? And he's going to go ahead and reveal those that truly belong to him and those who are not walking with him and those who have rejected him. God has a plan and a place for them as well. So he says, don't worry about all of those things. You and I only have to worry about one thing. You know what that is? Follow him. That's it. Follow him. Make sure that we are following him and that we're not following the world and that we're not following ourselves. The flesh can get in the way, but that we are humbly following the Lord. And so he says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and the nations that forget God. Verse 17, verse 18 says, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. God sees them. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged. That's who he's talking about in thy sight. So the psalmist is saying, I am counting on that the Lord is going to bring true judgment one day. There's all different kinds. There are crooked governors. There are crooked judges. There are crooks everywhere, aren't they? But the Lord says, don't worry about them. He says, follow me. Right? Trust me, I'll take care of that. And he allows them into our lives that even when we are mistreated, we're not looking to them. Who are we looking to? the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God himself, that we would not be moved by them, but that we would be moved by our God and his grace. Amen? And that we would not be moved by the wickedness of the world, that we would not be moved by the world, that we would not be moved by anything that would dishonor the glory of God, but that we would humbly follow after the Lord. And we need the Lord for that. Lord, I need you that I would not follow myself, but that I would walk in your way. So verse 19, he says, arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Amen. And then he says this, Selah. He says, meditate on all of that. And may you and I realize that God is the one that's the plan maker. Amen? God is the one that we are to follow, not man. Amen? We are to follow the way of the Lord, not the way of the world, but the way of the Lord, and not the way of ourselves, but the way of the Lord. Lord, help me to differentiate. Help me to make distinctions that I can see the path that the world would try to mislead me on. By the way, the devil's the prince and power of the air, right? He's the prince and power of the world, and so be careful. Lord, I don't want to be misled by the world. I want to follow after you. And so, Lord, I need you to guide me that I would be able to differentiate the difference between the world and you. I want to follow after you. And so we can praise the Lord. God's got everything in his hands, doesn't he? And he'll take care of it all. And most of all, he'll take care of you and I. Isn't that great? Would you stand? We'll prepare for the Lord's invitation. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you, Lord, for your great grace, your love for us. And Lord, that you give us every occasion and every reason to praise your holy name. Lord, you are a holy and righteous God, and we thank you for that. Lord, draw us into your paths, into your ways, that we might follow after you. Create in our hearts a hunger and a thirst for you and your righteousness, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.